Avalon Development, based in Fairbanks, would send geologists to Sitka for about a week. They would collect samples for analysis, and what they learned from those samples would become public after their work is completed. CETA Executive Director Gary White.
We think there might be gold mining or mining available here. We're not positive. This will take us down that step for us to determine that, and at the same time, it's going to be a barometer to see where people lie, whether you know they think that having this type of industry and the benefits that come with it are acceptable to the community or not.
At CETA's Economic Development Summit back in April, attendees voted on mining as one of the top ways to improve Sitka's economy. White says if that development comes to pass, there are potential benefits for the community.
The two mines in Juneau pay $2.7 million in property tax to that community. That's helps our schools. That helps us as a community overall. A lot of really high-paying jobs, and that's kind of the mission of CETA is to bring family wage jobs and investment to town, and we're kind of investigating it.
Not everyone is so sure it's a good idea. Andrew Tomes is executive director of the Sitka Conservation Society.
I don't know if this is the best use of the city's economic development fund. You know, there's a long history of mining claims in Silver Bay that have been dubious in the past. You know, historically, they're known as being scams.
Gold mining had its heyday in Sitka starting in about the 1870s. But as the 20th century approached, the industry faltered. In one case, a mine manager was trying to find ways to feed the operations in Sitka, and so he sent out prospectors to find new mines. One of those prospectors was named Joseph Juneau, and as his last name might suggest, instead of bringing business back to Sitka, he put a different Alaska city on the map. Meanwhile, back in Sitka, developers were claiming high-value veins of gold, but they were basing those claims on samples purposely loaded with valuable ore. A report drawn up by Avalon in April 2012 documents the historical infamy and malfeasance of Sitka's early prospectors. But it also says while there's no guarantee Sitka will hold significant deposits, there's nothing ruling it out either, and that it's worth a look. Tomes says the Sitka Conservation Society has concerns about the environmental impact of mining, but mostly he's skeptical the city needs to be involved at all.
If anyone was really interested in mineral potential at Silver Bay, that company would pay for the exploration themselves. Why should the city be paying for mineral exploration? The free market will find that with the high prices for gold and ore. They'd figure that out pretty quickly.
Which is the next question. If there is gold to be mined here, why hasn't someone done so already? The Avalon study from 2012 blames a number of factors, including regulatory, environmental, and political fights in the 1980s and 90s that turned the industry off to Southeast Alaska. The report also says CETA should measure local support or opposition toward gold mining before proceeding with exploration. Tomes says if Sitka is going to pursue further mining, it should be for rock, which the city needs. As for gold, CETA's Gary White says there's plenty of time to take the region's temperature.
You know, the average time before someone starts to where we're starting today in an operating mine is well over 15 years. So we have to take a step somewhere. This is the first step.
Avalon and CETA present the plan to the Sitka Assembly at a 5 p.m. work session tonight. That's followed at 6 p.m. by the regular meeting where the request for funding will be heard. Raven Radio will provide live coverage of the meeting beginning at 6. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.